Hey, let's pivot a little bit. And I see the line still lighting up. The text line's going crazy. We'll have a little more time later on to try and get our question of the day answered. Andy Mazur, I just really wanted to ask you, you know, this Brian Flores story. Mm-hmm. It's huge. It's going to be, you know, it's nothing new in the NFL. We've heard reports of discrimination against coaches and plenty other, I mean, players, et cetera, et cetera. What is happening in this current situation? Who is Brian Flores for those that are just tuning into this, and what's happening?
Yeah, Brian Flores was the head coach of the Miami Dolphins and had put together back-to-back winning seasons and was let go this year by the Dolphins. And he is alleging a different type of racism as far as the Rooney Rule, which is set in the NFL, which teams with openings for head coaching are supposed to hire, supposed to at least interview one diverse candidate per opening.
Okay.
So that's not what this is really alleging at this point. What he's alleging is that there was not a, he was accused of not being collaborative with the team. The owner allegedly offered him $100,000 per loss to lose games to get a better draft selection a couple of years ago. And of course, he refused to do that because you're based on wins and losses. It doesn't matter if your pocketbook is lined because you're probably going to be without a job if you continue to do that. He was also accused by Stephen Ross, who is the owner of the Miami Dolphins, for Ross wanted him to kind of recruit Tom Brady back when he was a free agent. And you can't do that.
Right.
That's illegal. That's against the rules of the National Football League, where there's certain times of windows where you can talk to free agents, and there's certain windows where it's called tampering. So he decided that he couldn't do that. Now, as far as the Rooney Rule goes, he allegedly interviewed with the New York Giants. And if you believe Bill Belichick, who was the coach of the Patriots, who texted Brian.
The wrong Brian.
Unfortunately, not this Brian. He was trying to text Brian Daboll, who was the Bills' offensive coordinator, who ended up winning the job with the Giants, saying, congratulations, blah, blah, blah. You're going to be great in this job, blah, blah. But he texted Brian Flores, who was interviewing for the job the next day, and called it a sham interview because he says that the Giants already had their mind made up that they were going to have Brian Daboll as their head coach. So there's a lot to digest here because he's suing several teams and he's suing the National Football League as well. It's a class action suit. And you know, he is alleging a lot of things with the Denver Broncos from a couple of years ago with John Elway, who was then the president of the Broncos.
So there's a lot going on here.
It's you know, the thing that I would ask your attorney.
Yeah, I'm going to bring her on right now, Ellen Heminger from MKFM Law. Ellen, how are you doing here today?
Great. How are you, John?
Great. We're just diving into this complicated case. And I guess, Andy, what's your first question then?
Well, my question would be, you know, when you approach a lawsuit like this that has not only effect on your immediate future, but your future beyond, as far as the NFL and coaching, I mean, you would think that you have to have a lot of evidence or at least a leg to stand on to go ahead and file a suit like this, wouldn't you?
Absolutely. And I think Brian Flores even spoke to the fact that he considered his future coaching career before filing this complaint and knew that by filing this complaint, he was taking a huge risk and that he may never be hired again with the NFL. So I completely agree with you. He obviously is approaching this complaint from a position of confidence that he will prevail if he is willing to sacrifice his entire career.
What is the burden of proof facing him? I mean, what does he have to prove in order to make this class action lawsuit successful in his mind?
You know, it's interesting because in 2020, so pretty recently, the Supreme Court issued a decision about these 1981 claims. And so if I can back up for a second.
Yeah, please do.
The federal law that this complaint is brought under is Section 1981 of the Civil Rights Act of 1866, which says all people have the same right to make and enforce contracts as enjoyed by white people. So it's entirely a race-based law. And under that law, Brian will have to show that his race was the only reason, what they call a but-for cause, that he was not hired for the job with the Giants or that he was subjected to these unequal terms of employment with the Miami Dolphins.
So you have to prove that you're just as
very high standard.
Right. You have to prove you're just as qualified. And the only reason was because of that.
Right. Exactly. And it's what they call a but-for standard. So but for his race, he would have received the job offer.
So it's a tough case.
It is. It absolutely is.
Is it unique that he sues multiple teams and then the NFL as a whole? I mean, these are individual companies. Does that play a role in this too? Because, I mean, these are each individual companies making individual decisions. Obviously, they all come together as part of this league. Does that just add to the complication?
I don't necessarily know if it adds to the complication. Of course, by naming multiple defendants, it's going to be more complicated, just, you know, with more people involved.
Right.
But I think it, you know, was a smart decision in the fact that it paints a larger picture of what was going on. It's not just the NFL as, you know, this big conglomerate organization. It's each individual team is engaging in racism, according to Brian Flores.
Right. You've worked for a long time in terms of employment law, cases of sexual harassment, retaliation, these sorts of things. I mean, is his case, obviously it's a big story, it's a big NFL story. Do you see cases similar to this in our everyday lives here in the Chicagoland area?
Absolutely. Of course, not to the scale that this case is on, but this case is no different than a lot of cases that are brought under Section 1981, specifically to do with race discrimination. And like Brian Flores, even if it's, you know, an individual plaintiff against an individual defendant, these cases are always difficult to prove in that, you know, the most common defense to these claims is that there was, you know, some other reason why, you know, the decision was made the way that it was. So in Brian Flores' case, it's likely that the NFL, the Dolphins, the Giants will all say that it didn't have to do with Brian Flores' race as to why he didn't get the job. Just, you know, Brian Daboll was better qualified and he just so happened to be white.
Right.
And so, of course, that's a difficult argument to overcome.
It sure is. Could this end up in a possible settlement, or do you think that Brian Flores is trying to make a statement here and he wants to see his date in court?
You know, I can't speak for what his, you know, his attorneys and their legal strategy is to the case.
True.
But I, you know, this just by filing the complaint, it has already made a huge wave throughout the NFL. It's all over the media right now. So, you know, if it was just filed to make a statement, I think he's already accomplished that. But of course, I think it's much more than just making a statement. I think by the nature of bringing a class action, so it's not just Brian Flores filing the suit alone. He has a lot of other people who have tried to apply for jobs in the NFL or have been denied jobs or failure to being promoted in the NFL. A lot of people standing behind Brian right now saying he's not the only one who's experienced this and that the NFL has engaged in a pattern and practice of discriminating against black or minority candidates.
Andy, I know we got to get to the news, but you have a question before
I just wanted to point out, too, that the NFL commissioner, Roger Goodell, came out with a memo today. Now, it's kind of in contrast to what the memo that came out when Brian Flores first filed the lawsuit, when about 90 minutes later, the league said it had no merit.
Right.
Now he's saying that the commitment to diversity, equity, and inclusion needs a lot of work. So it's just kind of interesting how that has kind of pivoted throughout this whole process.
Yeah, do public statements play any role in what could happen in the as this goes on, Ellen?
You know, it's nice that the NFL has changed their position a little bit. Of course, the public statement will not have any legal effect on the case, but, you know, it might be indicative that the NFL is taking these claims seriously, whether or not that means they are considering a settlement or other sort of resolution to the case besides going to trial. Of course, I can't speak to that.
Right.
But, you know, we do hear these statements oftentimes of companies pledging their commitment to diversity efforts and stuff like that. So, you know, it's nice to hear, but until it's backed up by some action, I don't know if it will have, you know, really any effect on this case.
Right. Ellen Heminger, I hate to leave it at that, but we got to get going. Thanks for joining us today, okay?
Thank you for having me.
Great attorney from MKFM Law. More with Let's Get Legal coming up in a bit, but time for the news on WGN.